Yo, this is Speech from Arrested Development, hanging out with the Odd Man John with the King. You know what I'm saying? Maximum FM hip hop, no doubt about it.
You're listening to Down with the Kings on Maximum FM Hip Hop.
Back we are here on Down with the Kings. It's the Odd Man here exclusively on Maximum FM Hip Hop. And we're taking a pause in the music for a moment to bring on our next guest. He was a member of a very colorful, stylish, and important group in the early 90s of Arrested Development, broke on the scene, and definitely with memorable hits like Mr. Wendell and People Every Day. They left a lot in terms of people's hearts and minds, and I'm proud and honored to have Speech on the program. How you doing, Speech?
I'm doing great, man. I'm still with Arrested Development, though, so I just wanted to make that clarification. Yeah, I'm still down.
For sure. Well, and I was going to say, I mean, one of the things I certainly want to talk about is the fact that here the group, again, it's approaching 25 years, quarter of a century, which is a huge milestone, and the group is still rocking and still making hits and still touching people. That's got to be a blessing.
It's a huge blessing. You're right. And it was a dream of mine. When I was 18, I prayed to God. I said, God, if you would give me this opportunity, I'll never ask you for anything else. And here I am 25 years later with living the dream. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So early on, you knew music was where you were going to end up. Is that fair to say?
Well, I knew that I wanted to. You know, when I was even 7 and 8 years old, I used to put my mom's Afro wig on. Afros were big when I was a kid. And I would imitate Michael Jackson in the backyard and you know, just perform for neighbors. And I always wanted to be in the entertainment business. And so this was, again, like I said, a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. Was there a plan B just in case? Curious. Just in case the music didn't work out for you.
Yeah, my mom and dad really forced that on me. And I'm glad they did. They talked to me about being a teacher. That was my passion, I should say. And they agreed with that. So I went to school when I graduated high school, which I barely graduated. I had a 0.9 average getting out of high school. And I went into college. I had to ask the college to accept me in a special situation, write a letter to them because of my bad grades. And when I got there, I did much better. I repented. I changed my way of thinking about education. And, you know, I studied, you know, education. I studied learning and teaching and so on and so forth. So that was my plan B. I never ended up having to do that per se, although some would say that, you know, I teach in the music.
Right. Well, that was the point I was just about to make, because it certainly has sort of come through in the music. When did you make that connection between the music and the education, bringing the two together?
Well, that's a good question. My mom, she owns a black newspaper called the Milwaukee Community Journal, and she's owned that for, I think it's 40 years almost now, 39 years. So since I was a kid, there's been this understanding that, number one, black people have not been treated fairly in this country, and therefore information has not been disseminated justly throughout the world about what's going on in black lives. And so there was this need for special organizations to develop in order to get information out. So that's what my mom's newspaper was about. So we'd sit around the table in breakfast and as a family with my friends visiting, and you know, we'd talk about issues that were going on and how to try to solve them and things of this nature. And that was sort of like family. It was a very meaningful time. It was family time for me. And so when I started doing music, it was sort of a jump off from that. You know, with realizing that, wow, this music needs to be about solutions. So that's sort of the connection.
Right. And you know, Speech, as you're talking about that, what's really clear to me is that because those roots were planted young, so to speak, or those seeds were planted in the early days, what's happened is sort of transcends that, and it just sort of builds, as you said, a natural jump off. But it just makes sense as you think about that. It's nothing that you picked up or read and said, hey, on a book, let's do this because it sounds like a great concept, a great idea. This is part of you.
No doubt about it. Yeah, it's very much part of me. And music that I would listen to, like Public Enemy, and deeply inspired me as well, and the Jungle Brothers and De La Soul's 3 Feet High Rising album. Sly Stone. A lot of things really inspired each step of the way as well, and made us who we are today.
Right, right. The group sort of adopted sort of the Afrocentric style, or so that's what's been placed on the group in terms of description. That style, how did that sort of develop? And I think it's also really interesting too that you find members to sort of that adopt that as well. Like, it seems like, you know, when you're putting a group together, you know, it's one of those instances, not like your family where you get to pick it, you can't pick and choose. Your group, you kind of pick that, and it seems that everyone that's come together fits into that style.
Yeah, well, what brought us about, I mean, what brought that style into our world was a few things. One is, you know, like I said, my past with my mom and dad both being activists. But then, you know, Chuck D really had a huge part to do with that, because when he started talking about, you know, a follower of Farrakhan, and I'm like, well, who's Farrakhan? I never heard of him. And right. When he talked about Chesimard, and he's talking about all of these, you know, Panther power, you can feel it in my arm. Look out, y'all, it's the time bomb. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Who are these people he's speaking about? And it was a mysterious thing to me that I wanted to understand better. And then it sent me on a journey. And then the journey started to be reading books about Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad and Islam and Christianity and so on and so forth. And it just started to be one layer that caused you to go a deeper layer. And before you knew it, it was very much a part of who I was. And as far as the group, yeah, I mean, the group members in Arrested Development came about very organically, where, you know, my man, headliner, who that was the first guy I brought into the group, and he was the DJ I started riding. And we wanted to do a sound system similar to Soul to Soul out of the UK, where, you know, Jazzy B was the DJ, and he would have all these people from dancers and singers get on stage. Well, we wanted to do a similar thing. It was like, well, let's bring dancers, singers, you know, artists, visual artists on stage and rock with us. And we did that. And show after show, it would be different people on stage. But after a while of doing shows, there would be certain people that really stuck. And those people were the ones that, once we got a record deal, we decided to take with us on the road. So at times in Atlanta, which is where we're from, we would have 20 people on stage. But of course, you can't bring that many people on the road, which would cost too much money. And so, unless you're Wu-Tang, so, right. You know, you sort of just decide, well, who's going to be the people we're going to bring on the road? And those people ended up being quite famous because, you know, our first album did quite well.
And the number of individuals, sort of members of the group who were affiliated, part of it, had gone on to do their own sort of individual solo stuff too. So for them, maybe, like, being a part of Arrested Development long-term didn't fit in their plans, for whatever reason, but that was a good jump off to launch their own selves.
Without a doubt, yeah. I mean, Arrested Development has fed a lot of people and has blessed a lot of people in a lot of ways.
Wow. Hey, you mentioned Chuck D. Did you ever get a chance to tell him how much he inspired you or influenced you?
Oh, yeah. Chuck D and I are cool, and we're friends, and he's been a friend for years. I mean, we lived in the same city. Before I was married and before he was married, we dated. Like, I dated a girl and he dated a girl that lived in the exact same apartment with each other. They were friends. So it's like hilarious, like the ways that we would end up connecting. But I didn't know him when his first albums came out, and, you know, Yo Bum Rush the Show and It Takes a Million. I didn't know him during that era. So for me, he was, and still is, a hero. And then for me to get to know him once Arrested Development jumped off was just an honor, you know. And he's the one that suggested us to do the Malcolm X soundtrack. And we did a song called Revolution. He's the one that talked to Spike Lee and suggested Arrested Development. So I owe Chuck a lot. You know, he's an amazing guy in the hip hop world, and definitely in my life.
Well, and when you think about, I mean, because this is hearing it described, you know, the relationship and what he's meant to the group and what he's done for Arrested Development, it's absolutely incredible. Because here he starts off as, you know, your quote unquote hero, so to speak, or someone that enlightened you or provide you that drive to kind of learn more. And now you got a relationship and a friendship, and, you know, the opportunity with Spike Lee, the soundtrack was amazing. That's incredible. It's like a dream almost.
It is. It's like a dream. And a lot of our life has been that way. I mean, it's similar with Spike Lee, where he was a hero to me in the film world. I thought he was just prolific in what he brought to the world and through film. And then, you know, we're in New York at a club called Sweet James and Last Poets, which I could go into that that family tree root as well, our branch, but I won't for now. But Last Poets was in the same show with us, and he comes, Spike Lee comes backstage and says, hey, and you know, I'd love for you guys to do some stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is honor, man. You know, so it's so many stories like that where different sort of tree branches took us in different directions, but there's a lot of connections to what we were inspired by initially and to how we were able to inspire others. I mean, De La Soul was very influential in our music and us sort of having the freedom to know that we could do a lot of things outside of what was previously done. De La broke a lot of ground there with their first album. And so I called, somehow or another, I got Pasa Noose's number. I didn't know him personally, but I was able to get his number, and I gave him Rainy Revolution, one of the first songs from our album, or one of the songs from our first album. And he loved the song. And so he said, you know, he passed it off to Tommy Boy. And they didn't actually sign it. But the point is that all of these little connections, all of these various ways that artists helped us, and we do the same for artists to this day, is just sort of part of the tradition.
Right, right. And very much, I would say, very much in line with what Arrested Development stands for as a group in terms of helping to uplift and push the bar along, so to speak.
We believe that. I mean, we believe that all of us are standing on the shoulders of somebody else. You know, we don't have the Kanye West belief that we sort of did it on our own. I love Kanye, by the way. I'm not dissing him. I'm just saying it's just a different belief system where we don't feel like we did it on our own. We feel like we definitely have contributed, and that's what I feel all of us need to do. But the truth is, it's like Smokey Robinson said on the BET Awards recently, that all of us, you know, who have a chance to make a huge impact in this world, there will be an end time for that. It doesn't just go on forever. And there will be someone new that will do the same thing. So really, I think the overall perspective, when you look, when you sort of pull back and zoom out and look at what's been happening over the years, is we're all on the backs of others. We're, none of us have done anything on our own. You know, we are on the backs of other people.
Gotcha. Loud and clear. I hear it loud and clear. You know, Speech, I took an opportunity to, prior to us connecting here, I took an opportunity to visit your website and the Arrested Development website, music.com. And one of the things that stood out to me, I love the images, but midway through it says, you know, the Grammys were among the first to get it. And that's such a powerful statement. And I wonder if you can kind of let's go back to when the Grammy acknowledged your achievements and recognized you. That had to be an incredible form of validation.
It was, you know, I mean, being a hip hop group, you know, you, especially during that time, the Grammys were ironically not supporting hip hop a lot. You know, they had only given a couple Grammys away. I think it was Naughty by Nature and Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, I believe, at the time. And so, you know, they weren't really given a lot of Grammys. They weren't airing it on TV at the time. And so it was ironic that the Grammys would be the ones that understood our music very well. Not that hip hop didn't, because they did, but the Grammys got it even more. And they saw it as a very unique piece of music, a very unique path within the journey of hip hop, and doing some things that had yet to be done in the music. And so that was really an honor for us, obviously. And I think the other weird thing about, and the reason we put that on the website, was because a lot of people, you know, they work their whole lives and their whole careers in hopes to get a Grammy. And they may get it at some point in their career, but usually not at the very beginning. And so for us, we got it right at the, you know, right at the top. And Best New Artist as well, which is very interesting. And, you know, Best Rap Single. So it's a very different journey for Arrested Development than a lot of other bands and groups in hip hop.
Does that kind of create, I don't know, I'm thinking the word pressure. I mean, you start at the very beginning of your career, and that's where you start off point. And in terms of the, when you, so you think of the next project, it's like you almost have to almost outdo yourself.
Yeah, it was. In fact, I had a talk with Michael Stipe from REM. He was, we were together at a rehearsal studio. They were recording, I think the album was Monster at the time, and they recorded it in this rehearsal studio that we were at recording. We were at doing a tour, preparing for a tour. And he was talking, he's like, man, you guys, you know, our career is just the opposite of you guys. Like, we had a chance to suck for a long time. And then we got it together after a while, and then we started to really have success and built our fan base up. You guys came out with an incredible record, And now you're having to sort of find your actual fan base, because the hit record gave you a huge exposure, but you didn't necessarily find a fan base. And I agree with him. It's like we wanted the right to write music the way we wanted to. And even if it sucked or even if it was prolific, we wanted the right to sort of do what most artists in hip hop and bands do, which is just write music from the love for from the love. And then, you know, if you create hits or build an audience over time, that's great. Well, we had to do it backwards. We wrote obviously an album that really struck a chord, and then we went backwards, and we weren't afraid to really just try to build a base. And that's what we've been doing for quite a while now, and it's good.
Right. You know, we're talking about the music and talking about the Grammy, and it was the best rap single, Tennessee, that won that Grammy. And I think this is a great opportunity to get into that song, give listeners a chance to reminisce a little bit back in the day, 1993, when Arrested Development came out with the hit Tennessee, right here on Down with the Kings. Let's check it out.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing grass. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire. Lord, I ask you to be my guiding force of truth. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee. Superior over me. We talk to each other in a friendship way. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Past eyes burn into rhythms. Where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walked. Climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. Some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all the first things. Let me understand your plans.
She went down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me. Without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for are the answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. For some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
Take me to another place. Take me to another land. Make me forget all the first thing. Let me understand your plan.
Yeah. Oh, won't you let me? Won't you help? You have
back we are here on Down with the Kings. It's the Odd Man on Maximum FM Hip Hop. We got speech from Arrested Development on the program. We just heard Tennessee, the song that made them, well, I was going to say famous, but I mean, you were certainly big before that, but certainly got them a lot of recognition. When you hear that song now, what sort of things come to your mind, speech, when you hear the song now? Because, I mean, certainly there was a lot, you know firsthand sort of what went behind it, you know, production, what inspired all those sorts of things. What comes to the forefront in your thinking?
Well, that song will always probably be the most special song I've ever written and the most special song AD has ever done. And the reason is, a few reasons. One is, it was the first single we ever put out. I remember during that time period that, you know, our album was finished. It was totally completed. We had signed a record deal with EMI. We had had a single that was initially going to be Mr. Wendell and on the B-side, Natural. And my grandmother passed away, who I spent all my summers with in Tennessee. And then the same week, my brother died, and he was 29. He died of an asthma attack. And the last place I saw him was at my grandma's funeral in Tennessee. So that, all in a week's time, I lost two of the most closest people in my life. And that's what made me write the song, Tennessee. And so I was on my sampler, an ASR-10 sampler, and, you know, I was creating this music, and I was listening to Prince, one of my favorite artists, and Alphabet Street was on, and it was like, you know, I'm going to take it to my backseat and drive up to Tennessee. And I grabbed that, and I was like, wow, that would be great. Last place I saw my grandmother and brother was in Tennessee, and I started looping that and then started building the song based on that. And when I was done with the song, you know, it's talking about take me to another place, help me understand your plan. Lord, I've really been real stressed. You know, my brother's passed, my grandma passed, my brother's gone. I never at once felt so alone. And it's all about these things that just had happened. And it was such an amazing moment of clarity. And I wanted to release it first. And so I went to the label and I got really irate because it was a very emotional time. I said, if you guys don't want to release this first, I don't want to do anything. And they listened to the song and they loved it. And they said, yes, we'll release it first. And we did a video for that, and everything started coming together. But I'm really glad we did that because that song needed to be first. It needed to be the first sort of piece of legacy for our band.
You know, if it was possible to, you know, give another Grammy for a song, just hearing you speak about sort of what went behind that, it's certainly well-deserved. Now, if I could give you another one speech, I would. It was incredible.
Thank you.
It's amazing. One other thing I certainly wanted to touch on with you in regards to Arrested Development, the timing when you came out in the industry, and I know you certainly referenced groups like De La Soul that helped kind of break the mold, so to speak, and sort of inspire you to try something different, because sort of in that time, sure, you had, you know, rap, the hip-hop game was certainly starting to evolve, and you're starting to see it become a lot more, there was certainly the gangster rap, so to speak, was starting to really assert itself and become prominent. You know, you had the sort of the party music, you had sort of the consciousness as well, and then you know, Arrested Development kind of fit into it, you know, found its niche within all that. Was that a difficult process, sort of find your place as a group?
You know, it was a very intentional process, because in that time period, unlike now, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have the ability to create a record on Pro Tools and so on and so forth. So like the film industry of old, you really had to have someone behind you to really put out a professional record, more than likely. And to get it distributed throughout the world, you really did. And because of that, you had to think about, well, what makes us unique? You know, here's a band coming out of Atlanta. I was born and raised in Milwaukee and in partly in Tennessee. So I'm not from big cities like New York, where I had a ton of peers that had already made it. So I really was thinking a lot, and, you know, you had to think, well, how can we get through? What's the sort of the niche thing that can make us unique? And sort of denying the urge to sound like other people. Not to mention, at that time period in the early, in the 80s, mid-80s to early 90s, it was also celebrated to be diverse. it was celebrated, it was expected, and that was a great time to be alive, and I want it to be the same now. I think that we can do that, because it helps artists to be the best they can be, and it allows people to use their unique life experience, their unique viewpoint on life, and actually capitalize on that instead of squash that and abandon that in order to make sure you fit in and can try to win in the game. So right. I liked that time period that that encouraged us and encouraged every artist to be different. Public Enemy was 100% different than MC Hammer, but both of them were winning. Tribe Called Quest was 100% different than 2 Live Crew, but both of them could tour together and win together. That doesn't exist right now where you could have that diversity. And so it was a great time to do music. And again, I want to see a resurgence like that even in the 2015 era.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone, it's funny, sort of every conversation that we get into on this program, we kind of made that comparison between then and now and how much is lacking, and, you know, from the creativity standpoint. And I heard one, I'm trying to remember who had mentioned it, but they had said that it seems like now it's like one long music video, like everything's playing and you can't make that distinction between one, you know, voice or group between another. And I think it's very, very true, accurate.
I think that's 100% true as well.
For sure, for sure. TED Talks is something that you've gotten yourself involved with, and I would love to sort of hear you to speak on that, because it's an incredible platform, first off, to be able, and when you sort of think of the distinguished names that participated in TED Talks, it must be an honor to be a part of that.
Yeah, it was really cool. I never thought about it per se, but I was been a fan of it for a long time. I watch it and get a lot of perspective from it and wisdom from it. And then someone had wrote me on Facebook, and apparently they were in Australia, heard our music at a party, and they had a connection with TED Talks and said, man, speech from Arrested Development would be great. And so they reached me on Facebook and, you know, brought it up. And I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. It sounds like a great thing. So anyway, we ended up doing, with TED Talks, you do a TEDx usually at some local city, and then they take the best of those and put it to TED Talks. And so I did a TEDx in Portland, which is the biggest TEDx scenario in all of the world. And 3,500 people came, sold out, and I closed it. And it was about 19 speakers, and I did mine on the spirit, and it was received incredibly well, talking about the human spirit. And one of the sort of the things that I talked about in my talk is that we all have a sacred serial number. And the whole point of my talk was just trying to revitalize the fact that in this world, it's a spiritual journey. And I'm not talking about necessarily anyone having a particular religion. It's just we have a spirit inside of us, and that spirit is many times way more powerful than what we physically can do. And so to tap into that spirit, we could do things that our bodies and our minds wouldn't necessarily be able to persevere through. And so it's just that talk was really based on that, and it was trying to revitalize the human spirit in all of us so that we could take this world to another level. It's a really cool talk, got a standing ovation. I was really excited about that, and it will be released for the public on YouTube in about 2 weeks. So I'm hoping that everybody will, you know, support it, tell their friends about it, and I hope you like it.
Oh, well, hey, we'll definitely we'll plug into that and share with our listening audience. Absolutely, I think it's an honor to be a part of TED Talks. It is enlightening, and I myself have checked it out on many occasions and walked away with the perspectives. And I think that's really the big thing in this, is that it offers an opportunity to gain new perspective. So, congrats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no doubt.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk about new music on the horizon, or what, you know, Arrested Development's up to. One thing I got to say, and what I'm really, really impressed with, I know I talked off the top about still making music, but the popularity of the group, especially over in the international level, is absolutely phenomenal. It's great to see. So congratulations on all that success.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, I'm so grateful for the international audience. And, I mean, we're starting to build it slowly but surely here in the States again. But the international audience, I mean, I have to say, if it wasn't for them, we would have quit, and then it would only been the nostalgic hits that people remember. So, anyway, I think, like, musically, we're about to release a really cool project that about two or three songs with a great producer named K.O. Cates. And K.O. did Why You Wanna Go Do That, Love, Huh? From T.I. He did some stuff with Jay-Z and R. Kelly and Lil' Kim and Snoop. So he's done a lot of great songs over the years. But me and K.O. got connected because he does this program called Bridge the Gap. And it's got to be the most progressive program I've seen in a long time, where it mixes, I don't know if you were young enough or old enough to know what Schoolhouse Rock was. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Not the movie, but there was a program called Schoolhouse Rock. It's a cartoon, and basically it was in America, but what it used to do is it used to mix certain educational things with music. And anyway, long story short, K.O. has this thing, Bridge the Gap. And his whole thing was bridging the gap between, you know, lower income and underprivileged youth with hip-hop music, knowing that people learn a lot more when they're able to do it through hip-hop. So, you know, you could have people that are doing horribly in school, but you put on a hip-hop song and they know all the lyrics. So he mixed this whole thing of music and education. And so me and him started building on that, and then we decided to do some music together. And the result of it was Arrested Development single called Up. And the whole point of Up was like, man, okay, we love hip-hop music. We love our lives. Why don't we realize how much we can move upwards instead of staying in a stagnant state or going backwards? And as a culture, as a hip-hop culture, let's take it up. So the whole point of the song was talking about where we started and how we're moving up in our own lives and inviting everybody to celebrate the whole movement of going upwards. Let's go up. So that's the whole point of the song. And it's a cool track, and sort of like this dreamy type of music that we put to it. And we really love it. We think it's a really fun song to put out right now. And in the near future, we'll put out some other music as well, like probably in the next 4 or 5 weeks. And this one song called I Don't See You at the Club that we're excited about. So just be looking out for both of those tunes. I Don't See You at the Club and Up is even going to be sooner than that. So both of those tunes we're excited about.
And the part I absolutely love, I mean, you know, you start off with Schoolhouse Rock, which is very much about education, and that theme of education and teaching comes through and carries through the music, and now you got Up, and that very much is in line with what Arrested Development is doing right from the start. It's teaching.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, you're right. At the end of the day, we are about that.
Right. So you became a teacher after all, Speech. Look at that.
I know, brother. It happened, man. They prophesied and it came true, baby. I'm happy about it, too. I really am. Like, you know, I have two kids of my own. I have my wife now. My wife and I celebrate 20 years together this year, and which is to us just a, you know, great accomplishment. And then our kids, you know, they're doing amazing things. My daughter's an actress. My son's a producer in the film and music world. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of great things that have happened. And I'm grateful to sort of be like an elder in the community now.
Did it take you long to adopt that? I mean, sometimes people fight that.
It did, dude. Now. It took me a lot. Even it coming out of my mouth right then, I was like, did I do that? Yeah.
Listen, I mean, whenever I get to talking to people about the program as an example, I'm talking with all the cool guests. You're like, who's that? What are you talking about?
Right, exactly.
I kind of have that feeling with you too, man. No doubt. Well, his speech, I appreciated you taking the time and chopping up with us here Down with the Kings. Real quick, let's let our listeners know where they can catch up with you and your music.
Yeah, you can catch up with us at adtheband.com. You can catch up with us at adtheband on Twitter, at adtheband on Instagram, on Facebook, Arrested Development. So any one of, you know, your weapon of choice, come check us out, sign up on our guest list, our mailing list, I should say, and check out our tour dates, because you don't want to miss an Arrested Development live show. It's ridiculous, and it's such an incredible celebration. We say we celebrate life, we celebrate death, and the struggles of the ancestors. And the show is way above average, and I think people will be really inspired. We have one of the better shows in hip-hop.
Awesome. You know, as you're going through the channels and the social media channels, you think, well, how different it is now, where you're giving out all this, you know, catch us, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and you got to lay that all out there. How different it was,
I know.
You know, back in the day.
No doubt about it. Totally a different vibe. You know,
for sure.
Totally a different vibe.
No doubt. Well, hey,
we came from the era of cassettes, and we came from the era of cassettes and vinyl records. So you know what I mean?
Yes. I still have my piles of cassettes and records as well. So I send them one and one day, and every so often I'll pull them out and go, "Wow, I remember these days, man. These are good days."
Great. Yeah, they do.
Well, I definitely appreciate your speech rolling through. Thank you for being down with the Kings. And to our listeners, we're getting back to the music right now.